Hi there, welcome. I'm Stephen Baker, and you're listening to my Seek the Truth Bible Media podcast. Seek the Truth is a Bible media site bringing to you truth you can trust exclusively from the Bible. Welcome to Jesus Revealed. In this broadcast, we are exploring where Jesus is mentioned, predicted, or typified in the first half of the Bible, the Old Testament. Jesus Revealed is taking us step by step through characters who speak of Jesus in the Old Testament. Now, we're not dragging this idea out of oblivion. It is a principle that is found in the New Testament, where it is clearly taught that the Old Testament scriptures, the things that were written aforetime, were written for our learning. And we're told in those scriptures there were things that were written that were types and shadows. You'll find that in the book of Hebrews and various books like that. We'll not go back over that ground again. Now, we've looked at Adam and we've thought about his relationship with Eve, and we've thought about the day of creation, and we thought about the voice of God seen in the Old Testament in the Trinity, and we thought about the seed of the woman. And today we're going to talk about a young man who didn't live too long. His name was called Abel. Abel actually is a very interesting character. He's one of two children that were born to Adam and Eve. And let me just read it to you from the book of Genesis and chapter 4. It says, "And Adam knew Eve his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. She again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground." Let's just leave it there for the moment. The story of Abel is a very short story. Adam and Eve had two children. And you know, when Cain was born, you'll notice that she said, "I have gotten a man from the Lord." In other words, I really think she was reflecting back on Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, where she was told the seed of the woman would become a victorious, powerful character. Little was she to know that Cain would actually become the first murderer. And the family would be ripped apart by anger and jealousy, as Cain was so angry that he had come to God on his own terms and ignored the instructions that no doubt Adam had passed down the line to him and to his brother. And Cain was livid and angry with God because God had accepted Abel and not himself. Now, the story goes on and it says that Cain was very wroth and his countenance fell. And then it says, "And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him." He killed him. And God speaks to Cain at this stage and he says to him, "What have you done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground." I don't want to focus so much on the murder of Abel. It's a tragedy. But I want to think about how Abel would teach us about the Lord Jesus. But there's three things I want to think about. First of all, I want to think about Abel as a type of a believing soul. You know, the primary attribute that is praised in this man, Abel, the second son of Adam, is that of righteousness. Jesus speaks in Matthew chapter 23, verse 35, about the blood of righteous Abel. Now, how was he righteous? Well, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4 tells us that he was righteous in this way: "By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts." Abel wasn't made righteous or right with God because of what he did, but on the basis of faith. And the fact that he obeyed God, Hebrews chapter 11 is teaching that he trusted God, and by faith he offered unto God a more excellent, a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain. Cain brought the fruit of the ground. He was a farmer. Abel was also a farmer, but he bought a sheep. He brought a lamb for sacrifice. But we learn this as we go through the story. Abel didn't bring the lamb for sacrifice because it was what he had. But he brought it because it was what God said needed to be brought. Because the animal sacrifice, the death of an animal, was a picture, foretelling of the fact that Jesus would be the Lamb of God who would bear away the sin of the world. So the Hebrew writer says, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent, a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous. God had already made him righteous by faith, but his sacrifice was the evidence that he was obedient to God. So in this sense, Abel is not just a picture of Christ, we'll come to that in a moment or two, but he's the type of a believing soul. You know, John the Apostle writes in 1 John 3 verse 12, and he says, Abel was slain by Cain because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. So Abel was right with God, and he becomes a type, a picture of those people like possibly yourself and myself, who've come to God by faith, confessing our sin, recognizing we need a sacrifice, we need someone to shed their blood, to take our place, to pay our price, and we are made right with God on the basis of trust, faith in what God has provided. And so the path that Abel walked is the path the true believer takes today. And this is a quote from Walter L. Wilson. It's the path the true believer takes today. He feels his need and trusts his soul and life to the living Lamb and the throne of God, who makes the death of Calvary and the shed blood of Jesus effective for everyone who believes. But Abel wasn't just a type of a believing prophet. He's also a believing person. He's a prophet. That's quite interesting, isn't it? In Luke chapter 11, the Lord Jesus says this: so that the blood of all the prophets shed since the foundation of the world may be charged against this generation, from the blood of Abel to the blood of Zechariah, who was killed between the altar and the house of God. Yes, I tell you, it shall be charged against this generation. The Lord Jesus affirmed that Abel, the son of Adam and Eve, was a prophet. Now, a prophet was someone who acted as God's mouthpiece, relaying the words of God to men in accordance with God's instructions. Now, we don't have any record of what Abel preached. We're not told that he did preach. We could assume that he preached, because it says that he's a prophet, and a prophet spoke for God. But we know that even in his actions, he spoke. Sometimes we do speak through our actions, maybe louder than our words, we often say. So Abel quite likely acted like many other prophets, urging his fellow men to repent of their sins. And that would cover Cain, and maybe that would have be what got Cain's back, his back up. I want you to think about how Abel is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, 1 John 3 verse 12 tells us that Cain was of that wicked one. But it tells us that Abel was righteous. So Cain, sadly, was a child of Satan, as all people are by birth. We're children of disobedience, we're children of wrath, we are of our father the devil. But by faith we can change our position, be brought into the family of God, be saved by the grace of God. So Abel, we're told he was a prophet. Now, admittedly, it's never stated directly that Abel is a figure or a type of the Lord Jesus the way it might be said about Melchizedek, or it might be said about certain other figures who are mentioned in the New Testament. A.W. Pink, in one of his writings, states that there are 35 points of resemblance that can be traced here between type and anti-type in the character of Abel. So that's quite interesting. I haven't got 35 to talk to you about, but it is good, isn't it? Just to see the Bible would make it very clear that here are some characters in the Old Testament, including Abel, who speak of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, Abel died because he worshipped God correctly. He did what was right. The Lord Jesus died because he always did the will of his Father in heaven. So Abel is a picture of the Lord Jesus in his obedience, the same as the Lord Jesus was always obedient to the will of his Father. Abel is a picture of the Lord Jesus, as in he is the first martyr. Of course, the Lord Jesus is the one the Bible talks about time and time again, who came to die and to shed his blood. You know, the interesting thing is, again, the Hebrew writer picks this up, and he says in Hebrews chapter 11, the blood of Jesus speaks better things than that of Abel. The blood of the Lord Jesus speaks better things of that than that of Abel. So it's interesting, isn't it, to see that Abel is not just a picture of obedience like the Lord Jesus, but a picture of suffering and suffering for righteousness' sake. In Matthew chapter 23, the Lord Jesus talks in those terms that he was one who suffered for righteousness' sake. Abel is also like the Lord Jesus in the sense that he was hated without a cause. The Lord Jesus was hated without a cause. Abel had no offence, but he was hated by his brother and cruelly slain. And he's put to death by his own brother. The Lord Jesus, he was put to death by his own brethren. So there are many, many parallels between the Lord Jesus. I want to think about three things just as I draw this to a kind of conclusion. We can compare and we can contrast Abel with the Lord Jesus. Let's think about his occupation. He was a shepherd. And in this position, he becomes a forerunner of the great shepherd. The Lord Jesus is described as the great shepherd of the sheep. He talks about himself in John 10 as the good shepherd. And in 1 Peter, Peter talks about him in chapter 5 as the chief shepherd. And Abel is like the Lord Jesus. He's a shepherd. But not just his occupation. Think about him like the Lord Jesus in terms of his obedience. You know, we've thought about that already, haven't we? You know, Adam and Eve must have explained to Cain and Abel that there was a way of approaching God, because even immediately after their sin, God clothes them in coats of skin. And so it had to take an animal and sacrifice it to cover their nakedness. And Abel and Cain would have learned that the approach to God was on the basis of sacrifice. So like the Lord Jesus, he's obedient. So he's obedient in respect of the requirements of heaven. That's the way God said it should be done. The Lord Jesus said, I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. So Abel consented to God's procedure as far as coming to him was concerned. Abel's obedience reflected the holiness of God. You know, the Lord had respect unto Abel in his offering because Abel came with the obedience of faith. He knew it was a lamb that needed to be slain. And well, that's just something the Lord Jesus did. He is the lamb slain from before the foundation of the world, and he understands the holiness of God as Abel did. Abel's obedience cost him his life. And of course, we know that's just so true. Abel's death was a violent death, but listen to the Lord about the Lord Jesus. Acts 8, in his humiliation, his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And Abel's humble death reflects and depicts the death of Christ as he became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. So with his occupation, with his obedience, with his offering, you know, it says in Hebrews 11, we've quoted it already, Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. They both came. And he had to bring a personal offering. It was for him. Remember, it says about the Lord Jesus, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree. It says in Hebrews 9 that through the eternal Spirit, he offered himself without spot to God. So his offering was personal. It was also accepted. You know, the Lord had respect unto Abel in his offering. Genesis says, well, we know that God is satisfied with the work of Christ. His wrath has been appeased. And the blood of Christ speaks better things, more effective, teaches us greater lessons than even the sacrifice of Abel. And the opposition, finally, the opposition. You know, Abel did what was pleasing to God, and yet hatred and anger rose up within Cain, and he was opposed. And it was a reflection that it wasn't just Abel that Cain was opposed to, but it was God. And it was because he couldn't get his own way that he was angry with God. And it was seen in violent retaliation, just like the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus, he came unto his own, and his own received him not because they didn't love him, because they didn't love his Father in heaven. The Lord Jesus, he was sacrificed because men took him by subtlety and killed him. They couldn't get their own way. And there was that violent retaliation. The last thing I want you to think about just for one second is his obituary. You know, we have to look off unto Jesus. You know, Abel's body was slain with a violent death. The Lord Jesus, he's the lamb freshly slain. Abel's blood was shed and it cries out Genesis 4:10 says, "But the Lord Jesus has a greater message, speaking better things than that of Abel. And Abel's brother was sentenced and cursed because of his murder. And of course, the wrath of God abides on those who refuse to believe and repent and trust the Lord Jesus." I trust these short thoughts about Abel and his likeness to the Lord Jesus and Jesus revealed in the Old Testament will thrill your heart and soul today. Well, that was really good of you to listen to our podcast today. We hope you found it interesting. You can contact me on my webpage, seekthetruth.org.uk, or you can get to us through our email, stepcar61@gmail.com. Thanks again for listening. Teaching truth without a twist through Seek the Truth Bible Media Podcast.